This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. Sometimes it pays to be patient. Next week, scientists will finally get a chance to conduct an experiment that they've been dreaming of for over 40 years. If all goes as planned on Monday, a satellite will carry an experiment into orbit to test unproven predictions of Einstein's relativity theory. In 1916, Einstein published his General Theory of Relativity, explaining the relationship between space, time, and gravity. He proposed that space and time are distorted by the presence of massive objects, and that gravity is really the warpage of space around a massive object, like a planet. Well, now the Gravity Probe B mission, first described in a paper in 1960, will be the first experimental test of these key predictions made by the general relativity theory. And that's no small feat. It requires near flawless materials and ultra-precise measurements. One of the mission's investigators is here to talk about that experiment and the long and winding road to the launch. If you'd like to join us, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. John Turner is a co-principal investigator for the Gravity Probe B program, and he's also an emeritus research professor of physics at Stanford University in Stanford, California. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hello, Ira.
Hi there. Professor, tell us what are the specific predictions that Einstein's theory makes that the Gravity Probe B is going to test?
Well, Einstein's general theory of relativity makes two predictions that Gravity Probe B, or we call it GPB for short, is going to test. One of the is the test of the frame dragging effect, in which space and time are dragged by the action of the rotation of the Earth, which of course is a massive gravitational body. This effect, according to general relativity, leads to the direction of the spin of the gyro rotating 42 milliarcseconds per year. A milliarcsecond is a thousandth of an arcsecond, about an axis parallel to the Earth's axis. That is the vector associated with the spin of the gyroscope rotates in the plane and in a plane parallel to the equatorial plane of the Earth.
All right, I have to try to decipher this a little bit, Professor, into English. So you have these. You have. A device, an experiment with gyroscopes, very precise gyroscopes spinning in them, right?
Yes.
And they are going to be, so they point in a certain direction. And if the Earth is turning and dragging, and its gravity is dragging actually the fabric of space-time with it, these gyroscopes will be able to tell that drag. Would that be correct?
That's right. And they're measured with respect to a fixed star we call the guide star, whose proper motion we know very accurately. Mm-hmm. And the proper motion is the motion of the star in the galaxy with respect to the distant quasars.
Mm-hmm. And this the accuracy of this, the measurement has to be, as you say, 42 one-thousandths of an arc second. That's like what? How would you compare that to something we know?
One-thousandth of an arc second corresponds to the width of a human hair at approximately 10 miles. That is the angle subtended by the human hair at a distance of about 10 miles.
So you have to be able to see that kind of precision?
That's correct.
And you can do that?
We expect the experiment will be able to detect something a little bit better than one-tenth of that.
No kidding.
That is one-ten-thousandth of an arc second.
All right. So that would... that would measure what we're calling frame dragging. In other words, as the Earth turns, it drags the frame around it, the actual time space around it with it.
Oh, that's right.
And the second prediction you're testing?
The second prediction is the geodetic effect, which has been seen in the Earth-Moon system in the gravitational field of the Sun. This is due to the motion of the gyroscope about the Earth. It does not depend upon the spinning of the Earth, but only the mass of the Earth. And this precession or the motion of the spin vector of the gyroscope is at right angles to the other effects, so it can be measured independently. And we expect the magnitude of this is quite a bit larger. It's 6.6 arcseconds per year. Mm-hmm. And we expect to measure it to about a part in 50,000.
So you're actually measuring, if I can understand this correctly, how much that the space around the Earth is being warped.
That's right.
The extent of it. Because what? Einstein said that gravity is really a warpage of space, as if the Earth were sitting, or any heavy object were sitting on a bed sheet, and everything would roll into the bed sheet caused by the warpage?
That is an approximate notion. As you come closer to a massive object, the distortion of space becomes larger, and as you go further away, it becomes smaller and smaller, and as you go very far away, it approximates what we think of as normal Euclidean space.
So why is this taking so long, this experiment, over 40 years in the making?
Well, let me go back a moment. The first funding for this experiment was in 1963, and the period from 1963 to 1984, actually only a few people were working on this. And two things were done during that period. One was to establish the conceptual basis for the experiment, and secondly, to demonstrate the technologies, to show that in principle that the technologies could carry out this experiment.
Mm-hmm. And did we not have the technologies to make the device before now?
No, not before, not in 1963, no.
Mm-hmm. What did you have to have to, you know, what made it possible?
Well, what made it possible was the some developments in superconductivity, for example, superconducting quantum interference devices, which are very sensitive, very low noise magnetometers, which are needed to read out the gyroscope. These were only begun to be understood in 1963, but they've made enormous developments since that time, including the work that was done at Stanford.
Now, if Einstein's predictions are correct, what do you expect to see going on in the experiment?
Well, we expect if the predictions are correct and the experiment is accurate, we expect to see the predictions given by the theory within the accuracy that we can ascertain from the experimental data.
So you expect the gyroscope would spin in a certain different direction or change its direction of spin?
Well, it would initially be pointed toward the guide star, which is Iam Pegasi. And over the course of the year, we would see these two precessions of the gyroscope at right angles of 6.6 arc seconds in 1 year. In the plane of the orbit, and the 42 milliarc seconds perpendicular to the plane of the orbit.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that these gyroscopes are like the size of ping pong balls in there?
The gyroscopes are the size of ping pong balls. They're made from fused quartz, a very special kind of fused quartz called homoseal, which has a very uniform density. It's very homogeneous in density, which we verified with some colleagues at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland, to one part in 10 million. And they have to be very spherical. They're spherical to approximately 0.5 microinch, that is 10 millionths of an inch. And, of course, they're about 1.5 inch in diameter, the size of a ping pong ball. And the... they also have a superconducting coating of niobium, a thin layer on the outside, which is a necessary component to read out the gyroscopes using superconducting technology.
Mm-hmm. So these will be really super cold then, sitting in...
Yes, yeah. The experiment requires it to operate at approximately 2 Kelvin above absolute zero. That's about minus 455 degrees below Fahrenheit, below zeros, so very cold. And it takes about 600 gallons of superfluid helium at the beginning to keep it cold throughout the 18 months of the mission.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if you get the data back and you don't get the results that would seem to verify general relativity?
Well, there are... first of all, we have to be very careful in the data analysis to make sure that we come up with an accurate measurement of the, or accurate determination of the accuracy of the experiment. And if there's a deviation, that will need to be thought through by particularly by a theoretical physicist to see how that might be incorporated into a modification of the theory. Now, I might point out that general relativity is in agreement with all of the experiments that have been done so far.
What other things about that? I mean, is this just one aspect of general relativity that, you know, it's hard to believe you're talking about something 90 years ago that was predicted. Why? It's amazing that it would take so long to do this experiment.
Well, actually, there were very few experiments until there was an experiment done by 1920, which had a large inaccuracy, the bending of starlight past the sun. And experiments really didn't come into their own in general relativity until about 1960, in which the new technologies allowed experiments of general relativity to be really carried out in much greater detail. Mm-hmm. And this is just one of a number of experiments.
So the launching is next Monday.
Launching is next Monday at 10:01 plus 20 seconds a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, assuming, of course, that the weather is cooperative and it doesn't get delayed one day or 2 days.
Mm-hmm. And as you said before, this will be taking measurements for what, for a year or so?
Experiment will operate for about 18 months. Mm-hmm. The first 2 months is dedicated to setting up the experiment to initialize everything and get it ready to begin making the measurements. Then there's a period of about 12 to 13 months in which we'll take continuous data. We call this the science mission data. Then there's a period afterwards of about 2 months in which we do some post-calibrations, mm-hmm. Which are needed to do the best job of determining the accuracy of the experiment.
And so it's going to take quite a while then for you to get the data back and analyze it.
Yes, and then it'll take from 6 months to a year before we have a final result with all the data back.
So then you say, well, Einstein was right, Einstein was wrong, something like that.
Well, Einstein is either right or mostly right. But I would put it that way.
No one's going to call him wrong yet. Huh?
Well, no. I don't think we would call Newton wrong.
Okay.
Newton's theory actually is very valuable in most situations that people have here on Earth as well as within our planetary system. And it's only very very special experiments or measurements that show deviations.
Well, good luck to you on the launch and good luck to you on your research, Professor.
Okay, thank you, Ira.
Thank you for joining us. John Turnor is a co-principal investigator for the Gravity Probe B program and emeritus research professor of physics at Stanford University, talking about the launch coming up on Monday. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about air pollution. Very controversial topic these days. Stay with us. We'll be right back.